Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of From No Crypto to No Crypto. I'm your host, the Crypto Coach, Blockchain Wayne. Today we're joined by Mikhail. Mikhail is in business development at Certik. We'll learn more about that later. He also runs a professional Web3 community. Mikhail, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Wayne. You know, I've seen some of these clips that you put on LinkedIn. I know you had Alberto from Bitwave. So it's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely saw some familiar faces in the network spotlight group, and glad to finally get you on, man. We see each other, we cross paths. You're always creating content, I'm always creating content, so it's good to finally connect on one.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because we're both in the business development role, but it's in Web3, there's like this merge, right, between marketing and what we do in business development, which some consider to be sales. So I feel like in general in Web3, the industry is evolving when it comes to the role of somebody in sales. So I feel like you and I think on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the world we live in today with social media being so prevalent that you've got your own channels to get out there and reach people. And you know, years ago you'd have to pay for advertising online or wherever else, and now you know I think content is king. You catch people's attention with content.
I mean, even if you look at the statistics, right, the amount of people that are watching streaming shows, I think it's going down. TikTok is grabbing a lot of the attention, YouTube grabbing a lot of the attention. So obviously the eyes are going to the mobile phones. And so you got to think, where's the attention going and how do you stay ahead of that? And then the other aspect of it is, you know, you've got the company that you work for, which, you know, hopefully they take care of their side of the thing. But also people like to put a face on a name, right? So if you get yourself out there and you show people your personality, that's the best thing you could do for your own personal brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I tell people, especially anybody's listening that's considering it, is I learned this long ago, don't wait for the perfect opportunity, because you're like, oh, I gotta wait till I get the perfect mic, the perfect lighting, the perfect computer, everything. Man, you can start with this and just start creating some content, right?
I think the hardest part is just putting yourself out there, because you know you're going to expose yourself to some criticism, right? People are gonna have some opinions about, not always positive opinions, and that's just how it goes sometimes, and you have to be okay with that. And you almost have to, in some ways, I always feel like I want that, because then I can wake up the next day realizing that the world's not over and I can just continue doing what I'm doing.
Absolutely. So Mikhail, let's jump into, obviously we're gonna talk about a few things, but Certik is who I see you representing at events, and that's who you're in business development with. So can you tell everyone a little bit about Certik and what you guys do there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Certik is one of the tried and true Web3 security firms. From top to bottom, when you look at Web3, you've got chains, you've got wallets, you've got applications. There's a lot happening around Web3. And so somebody has to make sure that that is secure. Somebody has to make sure that, you know, you set the standard for what to look for. And so Certik is on the forefront of doing that. And they've been around since 2018, one of the largest firms. And we got a really bright team here. And so we're always active. You know, to your point, we always connect at a conference. Yeah. Because we're always out and about trying to understand, you know, what's the latest development. Because in order for you to stay ahead on the security side, you have to understand what's happening on the development side. And more and more, I find myself just connecting people together, because, you know, part of security, I believe, in order for us to get ahead, is to help those that are developing. And the best way to do that is to connect people. And it comes down to relationships, right? And so that's kind of what my bread and butter is. And that's how I help and support the security firm.
Yeah, and security is an important thing. In any industry, right? But in the Web3 space, people are building products. You've got anything from potential bugs in code. I'm sure some cases you guys probably see maybe it'd be malicious founders or malicious devs or are a little bit of everything, right? I mean, a lot of people have good intentions when they're building and they just want to make sure that everything's legit, but I've heard many cases where people have outsourced some dev work and then they ended up being some vulnerabilities from that dev work that they never got audited. So it's definitely important, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Wayne. Going back to your example of outsourcing devs, that's something that happens quite a bit where you might hire a developer, across the world. You never met them in person, and so you don't really know exactly who they are. They have the technical expertise, and you can qualify that by having a conversation, but do you really know their background, right? And this kind of led us to believe that, having a KYC process for the core team is just as important, because the transparency needs to be there, right? Blockchain is all about transparency, but the thing about blockchain technology, and this is where you start to get into some debate, there's not a lot of transparency around who is behind the team. Because blockchain technology is supposed to be fully decentralized, you're not supposed to know who's who. And in the ideal world, it works that way. But in Web3, because you have certain teams that create certain protocols that are not fully decentralized, you kind of have to start thinking about, okay, who is behind this team? Because there are some centralization risks here, there are some privileges here that may not necessarily, you don't know if they're going to be used for malicious purposes. So who is behind that team? And that's where the KYC process comes in. And that's debatable, right? Because again, that goes away from the whole ethos of blockchain.
Well, I guess, I mean, you're talking about decentralization. I always tell people it's a sliding scale. When these projects are starting up, the end goal may be more decentralization they have now, but it always starts with a central team. So I agree. While there's some centralization in a team before a project launches or as they're launching or in the early stages of post-launch, then it's still very much centralized. They control the product, they control the contracts. So it makes sense because it's not just about transparency, it builds trust when you see that, I want to see who's behind the team and I see people, I don't see, NFT profile pics or something,
Right, exactly. And there's really three main things that a team can do to try to decentralize as much as possible. They can have a time lock, they can use a multi-signature wallet, but the third component tends to be the hardest, which is renouncing your privileges to, say, a DAO that make it a lot more, decentralized. But then you also open up potentially some other risks around governance. So there's always risks involved. And so you just try to do your best to minimize it as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of services are projects coming to you for at Certic that you're looking for? Is it mainly people launching tokens, building DeFi protocols? I guess give me the range of what kind of projects are coming to you.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say the most common need for a lot of projects is the smart contract audit. So they could have either one smart contract or it could be multitude of smart contracts, and these vary. It could be a staking contract or a token contract, and they would come and they would ask us to have that audited and reviewed. Then you also have chains, which is a little bit more in depth. There's a lot more of a thorough process involved there. You've got different parts like the nodes, for instance. We audited Aptos. It's one of the larger audits that we've done. And then also on the application layer, because you have to remember that Web3 is built on top of Web2. And so you still have to worry about the same things you do in the traditional cybersecurity world. It's just now you added an extra layer with these smart contracts. And so a lot of folks don't really think about the penetration test and the importance of it, but I would say it's right up there along with, having a review of your chain or your smart contract. And then there's some additional services in order to create more confidence within the community, right? Like if you were to incorporate a bug bounty system to incentivize your community to interact with your project and to make sure that it's fully secure. And I mentioned the KYC process, and we're now also reaching this period where we're starting to see more of an emphasis on compliance. And so, you know, are you able to track, monitor, report your transactions? Because, you know, we're not quite there yet, but there's a lot of government bodies that are really trying to put a lot of pressure on even decentralized projects to be, you know, fully regulated. And it's one of those scenarios. Do you want to stay ahead of the curve, or do you want to continue to resist? And, you know, that's, we'll see what time will show, but we're starting to see them go after Uniswap. You know, we're starting to see them go after MetaMask. So that we'll see what transpires, but that's something, that's an area that we're seeing a big need for as well.
Yeah, I think anytime you see, you're going to see a central company behind something, even though, you know, DeFi in general, Uniswap, it's code, right? It's code. It's a decentralized swapping platform, but it's still, it's controlled by a company. So until we see some of those governances go away from a single entity that can be served papers, then I think we're going to continue to see this battle back and forth as far as that goes. And that's a tough one, because I agree. I mean, the whole point of decentralization is not any single entity should be able to control it. Anybody should be able to access it, right? The accessibility for everybody. But at the same time, if that accessibility goes against a government's viewpoint, then they have an entity they can serve papers to, they will. Versus, you know, like somebody has a problem with Bitcoin, they're not going to serve any papers to Satoshi.
Right. Good luck finding him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, or I think that's where it's got to get. Yeah. Or them, right?
Right.
I think that's where it's got to get for to see some of that clarity, because, you know, we've seen, you know, government entities, especially in the U.S., they want to control, they want to know every aspect of every transaction. And in some cases, they think, like Uniswap, for instance, is keeping like a data file on all their users and all their users' trades like a centralized clearinghouse would. And it's just not the case.
Yeah, or like in the case of MetaMask, it makes you wonder, like, what is the government really after? Are they after the IP addresses and those people that are trying to avoid paying taxes? I mean, it sounds like that's what they're wanting to get to the bottom of.
Yeah, that could be the case. It's just it's scary. You know, I've always felt that privacy is should be a fundamental right. So it's interesting to see how, you know, some of the governments take stance. I wish more people, especially those listening, whether you're involved in crypto or are thinking about it, dipping your toe in, pay attention to those things that you know, some of these, when they go after crypto, it's not, oh, they're just going after crypto. Are they really going after things that should be fundamentally just available to us, like our freedom, our rights? I don't know. That's a different debate for a different day. I know I don't want to dive too much into that, but that's kind of how I've always looked at it.
It's a big topic.
Is it, you know, why do they want to know? And I've always felt that we live in a world where we should see government with more transparency and more openness, and, you know, individuals should have more privacy. And instead we've got the opposite right now. So as we move on from searching, I mean, it's definitely something that's necessary in the space. You run a professional Web3 community, right? Can you tell everybody a little bit about that? And also interested to hear what kind of spawned the idea to start setting that up and start connecting people in that group.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for full transparency, you know, this is a personal initiative of mine, so not affiliated with Certic in any way. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said that it doesn't, you know, cross over sometimes, because when you build strong relationships, you know, it leads to opportunities. And so one of the things that I'm really passionate about, that I've been passionate about before I got into Web3, was building relationships. You know, I would go to my local chamber of commerce, I would do my local meetups, I would meet people, and I would just build relationships with them. And sometimes those relationships would translate to business opportunities. And, you know, that seems to be the case in what I'm doing as well. And so when it was the peak bull market and everybody was very busy, it was very transactional, people were approaching me and they wanted an audit like yesterday. And then once 2022 hit, things slowed down. The overall, if you're familiar with, you know, the traditional sales cycle, but the sales cycle slowed down. You know, the term sheets that the VCs were sending slowed down. Everything slowed down. And that put a strong emphasis on the importance of relationships. And I thought to myself, well, how can I, who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, how can I get closer to folks in Singapore or in Europe? Because Web3 is decentralized, it's distributed, everyone around the globe is working on the same thing, but we're all so physically far apart from each other. And you can't always attend a conference. And so I decided to create a community on Telegram, because that's where I spend majority of my time doing a lot of my business initiatives. And I decided to create a group, and it started with 5 people, you know, 10 people, ended up growing to now what's about 470, I think. I kind of lost track, but it's grown quite a bit. And the a big reason for that is because I try to keep it exclusive. I try to get to know everybody first before adding them. I do that for 2 reasons. One, because of security, just want to make sure I understand someone's not being malicious. And then two, because I genuinely want to understand what is it that they're trying to accomplish. And so if I'm going to ask you to be part of my community, I want to make sure that this is a good use of your time. Because as we all know, Telegram is just, it's cluttered. There's tons of groups happening. Half the time, you don't know why you're in it. And so the last thing I would want is to ask you to be part of a community just to take up space, just so it looks good. Right. And so I try to be very intentional with that. I create virtual meetups. I bring people on to my podcast. And through these initiatives, people understand what I do for a living. And then that creates opportunities. I may be able to help them. They may be able to help me. And I think that is business 101.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then their network becomes your network, because if we've got a relationship and I know what you're looking for and I'm talking to somebody else that you don't know that has a need, then there's that chance for that connection too. So it's, I agree. I mean, we were talking about this prior, that relationships don't always necessarily mean you and I are going to do business together, but we know what each other's looking for. And we have you and others in a group in mind. And talking to someone and something clicks, it's like, you've got to meet this person, you've got to meet that person. And that's really where we need to go. So I definitely like that idea. You're right. Telegram is crowded though. Folders make it bearable, I find. Except now I've got to manage my folders. I was actually deleting some folders earlier. But yeah, that's a great tool, great way to connect with people. And I think that's what's needed. You're right. You know, so many, you mentioned transactional before. You mentioned so many people are just transactional in the space where they, you know, they go to events or they're making calls and they're just, okay, who can I do business with? Instead of thinking, let me connect with these people, because eventually I'll be able to help them, they'll be able to help me. We'll be able to build that relationship, know more about what each other's needs are, and be able to help each other.
And I think it's very difficult, especially if you're working for a company that's very ambitious. It's very fast paced, because there are certain goals that you need to reach. And, you know, it's the company's job to make sure that you are motivated to achieve those things. It's your job to make sure that you go about it the right way. Right. And so you don't necessarily want whatever pressure you're feeling. You don't want to put that pressure on the prospect, because especially this is not a car dealership, right? Right. Someone's not going to come. You can't make them sit in your lobby for 2-3 hours before coming out and saying, sorry, I can't get you that discount, right? Things are on Telegram. They can respond. They cannot respond, right? You're not going to be able to twist anybody's arm. So the best thing that you could do is just create a great relationship with that person. And that way it's a lot easier to influence their decision. And the other thing that I want to point out is I think a lot of people try to convince the other person to buy their product, right? Or integrate their solution. And your job isn't to sell that. And I know that's a very unpopular opinion, but your job is to help the other person make the right decision. And sometimes the right decision is to say, look, I'm sorry, this is not a good fit, but you should connect to so-and-so. And, you know, if anything, you're going to leave that with a lot of respect, and then they're going to refer business to you. So imagine you have like 10, 15 people working for you, going out and about and doing the prospecting for you. That's essentially what you're doing by leaving a good impression on them, because they essentially are your representative when they go out there and they're talking to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of the opposite, which is, you mentioned we're not a car dealership, right? So you're not like, what can I do to get you into this car today? What can I do to get you into this deal today? No.
People have options, you know, and you have to abide by that, right? You don't want to be an order taker. You want to provide your opinion. You want to show that you understand your industry. But at the same time, you also need to understand that they have options and they don't need to be talking to you. They can stop responding at any time.
Yeah. So Network Spotlight, your meetup group, obviously there's anybody interested. You're not just going to randomly add them, right? So what's the process if somebody hears this and they say, hey man, I'm interested in connecting with Mikhail and finding out more about this to see if it's a fit for the group?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say first check out networkspotlight.io. Take a look at the website. If it's something that resonates with you, there's an application section. You just simply apply with your information and then I'll reach out and we'll connect. We'll have a call just like we are now. It'll just be like a discovery call. I want to be able to understand what it is that you're looking to accomplish. And then if there's a mutual fit, you know, I'll be more than happy to add you to the community. I try to make sure that I surround the community with people that are thinking give first, because ultimately that's what drives the value. And those people end up getting more than anybody else within the community. So I think if everybody, whether you're a part of this community or outside, if you're thinking long term, if you're in it for the long haul and you have that mentality, I think you're more than halfway there.
Yep. It's the business wag me, right? Wag me,
right.
We're all going to make it.
Exactly. We've been building too in the bear market, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It definitely, deal flow slowed down during the bear, but people were still building. And so there's still a need. Still, I mean, we're seeing new companies, new projects come up every day. Of course, I think we're on the precipice of another big run, but that's a different, you know, different talk about the market.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk whether or not, you know, it's going to be a boring summer where we're just going to trend sideways. You know, we can all have our speculation, but at the end of the day, nothing changes from a business perspective. You know, you just need to show up every single day. And then when you look back, you know, 2-3 months down the line, when everybody else slowed down, you're going to look at yourself and think, I'm so glad that I kept going when it was quote unquote boring, right? So
yeah, absolutely. So Mikhail, we've talked about where to find out more information about Network Spotlight, but can you tell everybody where they can find out more information about Certiq?
Absolutely. Definitely go to Certiq.com. We've got all our products and services listed out. There's also a verification section. So if you're ever talking to somebody that claims to be working at Certiq, make sure you grab their handles, Twitter, Telegram, because there's a lot of people out there that are posing as, whether it be Certiq representatives, Binance, you name it, any big reputable company. So always stay vigilant, make sure you do your research. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me personally, if you have any questions about security auditing, we can share the links and to my social handles and Telegram, and they can feel free to connect with me directly.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely share that in the comments. And that's important, you're right, because I think I get contacted at least 5 times a day by fake exchange people. And it's always funny when it's ones that want to list me on an exchange that we're already listed on. It's like, you know, it's pretty obvious. But yeah, so many people are misrepresenting it. It's good to have that on a on a company page to where you can go to that page and verify who works there. Because some other companies and projects, it's hard to do that, right? If it's someone saying they're from Binance, it's really hard to verify that they're actually legit unless you say, send me an email from your Binance.com email.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's something that I think we'll see more and more companies incorporate in this industry, for sure.
It's important, especially with the nature of the business and so much business being transacted virtually, whereas, it's there's not, yeah, we can get the events, we can meet in person, but it's not always feasible to do business. A lot of times you're creating, new business with people across the world that you've never met in person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Mikhail, all right, man, it's been a pleasure having you on today. As we wrap up, is there any final words you'd like to share with our audience or anyone listening?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say anybody that is going to Consensus 2024, it's a big conference coming up here at end of May. I'm not sure when this video is going to come out, but if it's
It'll
before
be out before.
Consensus and you're planning on attending, I know you'll be there, Wayne. I'll be there. So more than happy to connect in person. That's kind of where I thrive at these in-person meetups. So anybody that wants to connect, feel free to shoot me a message.
Absolutely. Yeah, likewise. Definitely looking forward to that one. It's probably one of the top tier events in the US when you look at crypto, Web3 events that happen in the United States. I don't know about you, Mikhail, but I say the top two are usually that one in ETH Denver. There's others that are really good that are worth it. But the beauty of that is not just going to the event and seeing people talk, it's the networking, it's the connections, the people you meet. So definitely if you're around Austin, Texas, or thinking about it, I would encourage you to head out there. There's usually always, besides the main event, what there's usually a ton of side events as well too. Usually spreadsheets floating around with Eventbrites and other type of event links that you can go check out and listen to people as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Mikhail, it's been a pleasure having you on today. Definitely, about time we catch up. Like I said, we've been seeing each other back and forth, creating content, attending in different events. So it's been a pleasure to have you on here and talk today. And thanks again for your time.
Likewise, Wayne. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. And thanks everybody for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.